We are continuing on in our parables of Jesus. We'll be in Matthew 13 this week. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you that your word sustains us through each day. And Lord, we pray that your word would speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we are coming into this parable, this story that Jesus tells, and the story has symbolism and analogies in it, and he tells these stories in this way for specific reasons, and we talked about that last week, and I'll talk about it again in a few minutes. But here's a question that I believe Jesus is addressing in this parable today. Why is there so much evil in the world? If there is a God, and if he is sovereign, and I always talk about that, he's in control, why is there evil and the pain and the suffering that accompanies evil? And as you think about this, you think about what's going on in the world the last few weeks. We had the shooting in South Carolina. We had three mass killings on different continents on Friday. And you read about violence, you read about all these things all the time, and you might want to put up your hands and say, why? Lord, what's going on? And that's really the question that Jesus is addressing in the parable that we're about to read. And it's in Matthew 13, beginning with verse 24, it's the parable of the weeds. If you grew up reading this, it was probably known as the parable of the tares, T-A-R-E-S. That's just another word for weeds. So Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 24, it says this, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did these weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered. Because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. So as I mentioned, sometimes these parables are hard to figure out what they mean. And Jesus is going to explain that over the next few verses, exactly what these verses mean. But for those of you who have ever planted anything, how annoying are weeds, right? I mean, as I told you last week, I'm not a great farmer or planter or anything like that, but what's amazing to me is you can try really hard to grow something and plant it and water it, and you don't even have to water those weeds. They just come, right? They just want to get in there, and, you know, it's just frustrating because you planted something that was good. You planted flowers, you planted something that's going to produce fruit, going to give you vegetables, something good. And all of a sudden these things come up and they start to choke everything out. And it's really annoying that you got to pull them and all that stuff. So if you've ever had any experience planting, Jesus is talking to a farming culture so that they can understand it. All right, so we all have this experience, we all understand the concept that Jesus is getting at. But what does it symbolize in terms of our spiritual life? Well, I'm not going to tell you yet, because Jesus goes on and tells a couple of other different parables and then comes back and explains the first one. So in verse 31, he says he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. So a couple parables there about the kingdom, about the good seed. And he talks about this little mustard seed that grows into this big tree. And if you've ever planted a seed, we talked about this last week, it is amazing how much can come out of a seed, isn't it? I mean, a seed that big can produce a tree. An acorn becomes 100 feet tall, right? I mean, it's just an amazing thing to think about. That is what the kingdom of God is like. And think about that in terms of that kingdom that started with just a few disciples. And now there are millions of Christians on every continent. 2,000 years later. It started small and it just grew and it just grew into the world. And then he switches gears on us and gives us another analogy. And he talks about leaven or yeast. And the idea is this. If you take dough and you cook it, if you don't put yeast in, what comes out? A saltine, right? Little salt, little flat cracker, right? That's basically what you're going to get, something flat. What happens when you put the yeast in it? The whole thing rises. Now, what's interesting is there are other passages in the Bible where Jesus refers to yeast as a bad thing, because if sin gets into your life, it infects your whole body, right? It infects your whole life. This is why we don't always compare parables this way. You have to take each one separately. But in this case, yeast is a good thing. Yeast gets into the world. The Holy Spirit gets into the world. Jesus sends his Spirit into the world to change the world. And that's good. Okay? And the kingdom grows. So this good seed that Jesus planted, it goes into the world and produces fruit all over the place. So that's a positive. And one of the things we have to remember is there is power in Jesus' message. There is power to change lives. You know, one person I was thinking about this week is John Gislin. He's not here today, but do you remember when he got up a couple years ago and gave his testimony? Some of you were here. And where he came from to where he is now, and a lot of you have similar stories, that is the power of God in a person's life. God has taken people out of the depths and brought them to the heights. That is the power of the gospel. That is the seed that gets sown in our hearts and lives and changes us. And a lot of you guys have similar stories. Some of you may not have as dramatic a story. Maybe you accepted Christ at an early age and walked with him your whole life. Don't ever feel bad that you don't have a bad story. Okay? Sometimes people say, oh man, I wish I could say that. I wish I could say I was terrible and now things are great for me. No, don't feel that way. Here's how you should feel. God got a hold of me at an early age and he never let me go. That's a powerful message. You know, I remember I accepted Christ when I was 8 years old, and a powerful message to me, a powerful thing that happened was I suffered from bad nightmares. I used to get up in the night screaming and yelling and run to my parents and just had these terrible nightmares. I accepted Christ, and they were gone. Now, I know that that doesn't happen to every person in every case, but that was his message to me. I'm with you. I am right here with you. Go to sleep. Right? It was just a powerful message to me. And all of you have different interactions with the Lord, but the Lord has worked powerfully in all of your lives. And that message changed your lives, and it can change the lives of people around you. That is the good seed that's been planted that gets spread through all the people in the world through all the centuries. So now, we're going to come back to the explanation of the first parable, because we got to get back to what are these weeds all about? What's going on with the weeds? Before we do that, a couple of verses here where Jesus explains the parable, the reason he speaks in parables. Jesus spoke, this is verse 34, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Jesus is revealing things to people who want to know him and understand him. But remember we talked about it last week? One of the reasons that Jesus spoke in parables is that so some people wouldn't understand. Because some people didn't want to go deeper with him. So he would speak a parable about planting something, and they would say, I don't get it, and walk away. But there are people like the disciples who really want to know. I mean, do you really want to know the heart and the mind of God? Yes. Go deeper with him. So the disciples come back to Jesus. And anyone could have done this, but it seems like it was only the disciples that came to Jesus and asked him. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. As followers of Christ, we should want to know what Jesus is thinking and what is going to happen in the world. And he answered in verse 37, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. That is a title for Jesus. Okay, that's Jesus who sent the good seed into the world. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. I'm going to stop there for a second. You know, a lot of times when people read this parable, they think, okay, the field is the church. No, the field is the whole world. And the good seed is people who believe in Jesus Christ. And the weeds that come up are the people who are not followers of Jesus Christ. And it says they're followers of the enemy. And in verse 39, the enemy who sows them or plants them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin in all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So as we think about this, here's what we have. The sower is Jesus, the planter of the good seed. We are the fruit of the good seed. Then there are people who are weeds, people who are out there to do what Satan wants them to do. Now, it doesn't mean that they consciously are worshiping Satan, but in effect, they are following him. And we think about people who have done these terrible deeds over the last couple weeks. They have been doing the work of the enemy. Whether they realize it or not, that is what they are doing. There are wheat in the world, and there are weeds in the world. And what we have to deal with is that we are going to live in a world where there's pain and suffering and evil. We live in a world where this is going to continue to happen. We're living in a sinful world with sinful people. And let's face it, we are also sinful people. We are not innocent of the evil in the world. But we're followers of Jesus Christ, so we are declared innocent. So you might ask in all of this, where's the justice in all of this? Where's the fairness in all of this? But here's what Jesus tells us right here. In the end, there will be justice. And this is not politically correct talk to say this, but in the end, God will judge. Some people will go to heaven, and some people will be punished. That is what Scripture teaches. There is going to be punishment in the end. And in the world, people don't want to hear that. They want to hear everybody gets to go no matter what you believe or what you say or what you do. But it is not what the Bible teaches. Those who put their faith in Jesus Christ will be forgiven and be with him forever. And those who don't will be punished. So what Jesus is telling them is, look, it may be hard right now, but in the end, there will be justice. It will take place. So the question that people sometimes ask is, well, why do we have to stay here? Why can't he just take us to be with him now? Why can't he just get rid of everything? Well, the answer to the question is, the basic answer is because Jesus said so. That's the easiest answer. You ever say that to your kids? Why? Because I said so. Okay? But that's the basic answer. But the deeper answer is this. We don't know who the weeds are. Because some people who look like weeds become wheat, right? That making sense? Think about Paul in the Bible. Paul was persecuting the church, having Christians thrown in jail, overseeing the execution of one Christian at least. He looked like a weed, didn't he? And then Jesus got a hold of him, changed him from the inside out, and he became one of the good soil, one of the good fruit in the world. So God changed him. So that's the thing. We are in this world on a mission to spread this message. We want to see more people following Jesus. And that's really what would change the world. And, you know, sometimes when we think about that, do you ever have the thought that you don't want someone to be forgiven? Someone who's done something so terrible? We think about the marathon bomber who was just sentenced to death. What if that man put his faith in Jesus Christ and became a Christian? Would he go to heaven? Yes. Really? Even though he killed those people? Even though he maimed dozens of others and caused so much trouble? See, I've heard people say, man, I don't know that I want to see that happen, because you're angry, right? And you don't want to see him punished. But that is the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. He forgave Paul's sins, right? He forgave the sins of people who did terrible things. That is the power of it. And when we say, oh, we don't want them to be forgiven, what we're doing is taking on the attitude of Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah in the Bible? Just a little hint, it's not about a fish. It is so far from being about a fish, okay? And everyone focuses on the fish. And I used to remember reading board books to kids. They used to have those little Bible board books, and they had all these reasons why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach to those people. And they didn't. A lot of the board books missed the story. And one of the reasons, I think, was because he was afraid. Nope, that's not the reason. The reason Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh is because he did not want them to be forgiven. Because the people of Nineveh were terrorists. They were the Assyrians. They were the most brutal killers in that region of the world at the time. And they had killed the people of Israel. And he did not want them to be forgiven. And at one point, after God forgave them, he said, I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. He was upset that God was forgiving. You forgave them. How could you do that? But that is the power of the cross. That is the power of Jesus. He forgives all sin if you will come to him and receive him and believe in him. And you know, the skit that we saw this morning, it's an interesting thing. You want Jesus to be your commanding officer. That's Lord, right? You want to give your life to Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And if you do that, you are the good seed. But one of the things we have to realize is this is the world that we live in. There's a saying out there you hear a lot. It's thrown out too many times. But there's a saying out there that goes like this. It is what it is. This is the world that we live in. This is the place that God has planted us. And we are called to be faithful to him. But we also have to remember that he has not promised us an easy life forever. He has not promised us that no evil people or evil things will come to us. He doesn't promise that. But what he does promise us in the end, there will be justice. So the answer for us right now is this. You know, people look at all the problems in the world and people are trying to find solutions. What's the solution? Well, it's legislation. It's political action. It's taking military action. It's doing this and it's doing that. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. But the primary answer to all of this is we need to pray. We need to pray for our world. And we need to plant the seeds of the gospel. Do you want to change America? Do you want to change the world? Tell people about Jesus. Plant those seeds so that people are changed from the inside out. And after you've prayed and after you've done things, and yes, taking action is fine, but without the power of Christ, none of these things, none of the changes that we are looking for will happen. And finally, the last thing I just want to say to you is the last verse here that I read, verse 43. It says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. There's going to come a day when your pain is gone. There's going to come a day when you are going to shine. What does that mean, to shine? It means to reflect God's glory. You're going to be like him. And there will be no more suffering or death or crying or pain. We look forward to that day. Take heart. Scripture says, be of good courage. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, and he is going to make everything right in the end. Be patient and be faithful and follow him. Let's pray. Lord, we know there's pain here, and we know that you've experienced the pain here. And we also know that you have overcome sin, you have overcome death. We put all of our hope and our faith and our trust in you. And we look forward to that day when we will see you and we will be made like you. And we give you all the glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.